going on, people? This is Lecrae.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kel Mitchell.
Picky Wine is back with me.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Brian Hooks.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Dr. Dorinda Clark Cole.
Yo, what up, y'all? It's your boy, Kev, on stage.
Yo, what's up? This is Doug E. Fresh.
What up? It's DJ Emmy for that Breakfast Club.
What's up, everybody? It's Mr. Talkbox.
Hello there. This is Kim Burrell.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Cardi Cortez.
Well, hello there. I am Jacqueline Carr.
Good afternoon. It's Jess with the Mess.
Hey, everyone. This is Faith Jesse.
My name is Kid from Kid and Play.
Peace to the planet. Charlamagne the God here.
What's up, y'all? Las Vegas. It's Said Entertainer. I want you to download and tune into the greatest gospel station in the Las Vegas area.
It's the number one gospel station.
Number one gospel station.
Number one gospel radio.
Check it out. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go download Anointed Radio app.
From either the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
For 24/7 gospel.
Make sure to check out their website at anointedradionetwork.com.
Music for the soul, music for your spirit, music to lift your heart.
That soul food for your body, that energy for your spirit.
Gospel in the morning, gospel for lunch, gospel at dinner, and then you go to sleep. You know what? Guess what? You're dreaming about some gospel.
Sometimes these are the songs that really uplift us and get us through some of the tough times.
Salute Pastor J. Calhoun and Anointed Radio.
No, your boy wouldn't steer you wrong. Go listen right now. You feel me?
Check them out without no doubt, because gospel is what it's all about.
Hey, 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 everybody. Hey, 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 hey. It's Pastor Jay. You know, I always got something to say. We're going to start off in normal fashion. And normal fashion is this. We're going to start off with a scripture, and then we're going to start off with a prayer. And the scripture we're coming out of is Proverbs 11 and 25. And it says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Let me say that one more time. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And it don't always gotta be about money. Be there for somebody. Be peace for somebody, and peace will come to you. You reap what you sow. You got to understand, these are seeds that you're planting. You give into somebody, you sow into somebody, you mentor to somebody, that's gonna all come back. That the doors will open back for you. So you have to remember what Proverbs is letting you know is that get out of your way and start seeing other people. Start seeing what their struggles are. Put yourself in those shoes. Can I get a little grace? Give grace to others. Hello, somebody. So that you could be able to help them out. Because when you finally achieve that, you'll start seeing doors open. You'll start seeing a peace just come over your house. A peace whenever you walk into a room. You will set an atmosphere. Because when you serve God's people, you serve God. That's the Bible. So we have to get to a point of, it's not all about us. Even the song when we were kids said, it's not about us, it's about Jesus. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father God, we just thank you, God. We thank you for everything that you're doing. God, we just thank you for all the things that you're going to do, God. Maintain, stable us, be able to establish us, God, in the right pathway, into the right footsteps. Order our steps, Lord, as we make the plan plain and simple to you, Lord. God, we just ask you to be able to show the evidence of you in our lives daily. God, put a hedge of protection around us, protect us from hurt, harm, and danger. And God, just be into our life where we could be able to stop being tempted by the devil. Stop being tempted by our emotions. Stop being tempted by all these things that are setting us up for distraction and our downfall. But to be able to set us up, Lord, in you, Lord. So no matter what comes our way, we could be able to stay focus on the mission. Focus on what you want for us, God. God, I just ask you to just be able to bless anybody under the sound of my voice that's going through sickness in their body, torment in their mind, financial ruin. That's whatever they're going through, God, be able to give them a sign to be able to know that wonders and miracles is coming their way, that better days are coming, and they don't have to constantly stress about these things and to be able to give those stresses to you, Lord. God, be able to encourage them to see things with your eyes and not their eyes, where they could be able to see with faith on what they could do with you, Lord. God, be able to establish any relationships that have been torn, that have had any type of issues with you, Lord, so that they could be able to reestablish that relationship, hear you clearly, clear their mind, so that no matter what comes their way, you're right there protecting them as a refuge, as a strong tower. God, I ask you to be able to let us reach the unreachable, teach the unteachable, and even touch somebody with the hardest heart to say, what can I do to be saved? God, enlarge the territory of Anointed Radio. Let us be able to get to new airwaves, to new broadcasts, new cities, new area codes, new continents. Let us be able to expand and syndications and be able to be a great impact and a great representation of you, Lord. God, let yourself be in the room today. God, let everything that is going to come our way be ordained by you, God. Let's be able to represent ourselves accordingly before you, Lord, so that the enemy cannot put nothing on our names, can't take nothing away from us due to the fact that we've already represented ourselves and we don't have anyone speaking for us, God. God, let us be able to show up for ourselves, God, so that we could be able to show what you have instilled in us, so that we could be able to tell our testimony, because there's power in the testimony. God, I thank you. God, I give you all the praise. I ask you to just be able to just really intervene in the people under the sound of my voice's life so that they can know that you are really doing some major things in their life. And I ask you all that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. It's Pastor Jay. And like always, I got something to say. And what I got to say is this. You can follow me at Anointed Jaylon on all social media platforms, the Instagram, the Clubhouse, the Facebook, and everywhere. You could Google me too. Just Google me. You can find me. If you Google me, you're going to find me. I'm just saying. And if you did not follow my social media, just know that my new song, Can I Get a Little Grace, is been added to a lot of radio stations. So shout out to all the radio stations that are adding Can I Get a Little Grace. This is the Grace Era, and the Grace Tour has begun. Doing some great things with Can I Get a Little Grace. To God be the glory with all of it. Shout out. It just reached 21,000 streams on Spotify in 2 weeks. That is amazing. Shout out to all the supporters and all the people that's listening and jumping on and sharing it with your family and them. I appreciate you and your family and them. Keep pushing it. Let's get it on charts. Amen. And if you want to listen to any of my old music, you could be able to go and follow it on Pastor Jaylon Calhoun on Spotify, Apple, Amazon. You could get it on anywhere and just put it in your playlist. And one update that I just got with music is Spirit Flow Through Me, which reached 1 million streams on SoundCloud, is reached number 2 on the Urban Influencer Gospel Charts. To God be the glory with the vision that God gave me with the music. So I give all praise to him about it. So make sure you go follow that out. And if you did not know, make sure you go check out my book, Creo T Remedies, which is in Amazon stores right now. Shout outs to Forward Books for putting out my first book, Creo T Remedies. It is cold outside. Like Ray Charles said, Betty, is cold outside. It's cold outside. So people getting sick. They getting sniffles and they chest. They congested. Get you some mullein leaf. Go get you some. I'm not even going to give you all this, all the little remedies. Just go get my book, $20. And it'll give you remedies for the rest of your life so that you could be able to, you know, I'm trying to be like Mariah Carey, but with tea remedy books. I want to thaw out every November 1st. I should make a parody or something, like when Mariah Carey thawed out. I should thaw out like, yeah, T-Book, go get it. But make sure you go follow all that. And in absence of all of my wonderful co-hosts that are not in the studio today, we have Prophetess Tish. Make sure you go follow her at Beverly Creation on all social media platforms. Make sure you go visit the Bishop Mercy Kerman. Mercy coming. Yeah, mercy coming, because you know mercy is coming. We go follow him on all social media platforms, and make sure you go check out Yo Daddy on your daddy's side, favorite cousin, Marvette Johnson, a.k.a. Marvette the Artist, or MTA Sompsis, where you can follow her on all social media platforms as well. And we have one co-host in the studio today. Now I'll let her introduce herself, everybody's favorite comedian and on-air personality, Miss Simi So Real.
Hey, now this is your girl, Simi So Real. Where is the special mic that we have all the time? That's how we do. This is our special mic, okay? Everybody can't have a mic like this, but this is our special mic. So this is your girl, Simi So Real. You know the deal. You know the drill. Always telling the truth, something that you can feel. I'm here. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on TikTok. You can find me on Instagram. And you can find me in the clubhouse. Okay. That's where you can find me. And I'm only in the clubhouse every now and then. Now, I have some great things coming up. Oh, your girl is going to be busy, but I give God all the glory. This Saturday, you can find me right here if you are in Vegas at Nehemiah Ministries, where I'll be hosting a mental health gala award ceremony. So those going out in the community and spreading the good news, doing positive things and helping to increase just mental health. There's a lot of sponsors. It's going to be amazing. So your girl, Simi So Real, will be hosting that. And I'm excited. Okay. So that's 6 to 8. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. If you want to sponsor, you can, but it is booked. It is at capacity.
It's already gone. Man.
Tickets sold out.
I was going to go, but.
Sold out.
Game ago, it's sold out. It's sold out. My mind is made up. Do. So one thing I want to go ahead and do early and get this out the way is make sure to shout out to our two-time champions, the Las Vegas Aces. Shout out to the Lady Aces. Two times they went back-to-back championships. So yes, they were the first to bring a national championship to Las Vegas, and they didn't do it but once, but they did it dose times. And shout out to our other champions, the Las Vegas Knights, which actually I could say made me interested in hockey, because before them I liked the Mighty Ducks, but I didn't care about hockey. But being here, seeing the evolution of the Golden Knights has been a special and amazing thing. So definitely shout out to the Knights, shout out to the Las Vegas Lights, our soccer team, and shout out to my favorite team, the Las Vegas Raiders. If only we can win something here, that would be amazing. That's my Christmas
switch. You know, I'm a Raiders fan, but everyone knows it's because, you know, if you're not a Raiders fan in Las Vegas, you might have to fight somebody. So I'm trying to put my fighting days behind me, and I'm just going to go with it. But I do.
They're not that bad. The bark is definitely worse than the bite, because they're not the Oakland Raiders anymore. Oakland, that was the days. You know, anybody coming to Oakland Coliseum, you know, you had to fight. You know, it was like, if you didn't know how to fight.
Oh, my life, I had to fight.
Exactly. And the Las Vegas Raider fanship is new, and they don't know a lot of the traditions. I've been to multiple games for the Las Vegas Raiders, and they don't even know the call and response. Like in Oakland, we would have the place rumbling. I mean, rumbling. Everybody knew the call and response. Here you get some people that's been fans for all their little life, and they like, oh, no one knows. So I'm going to leave that alone. So, yes, make sure you share, like, subscribe. All my people watching in, make sure you share, like, subscribe, and tag your family in them. And like how Dr. Whitley would always say, make sure you can register with us, give us some hearts and some likes and all that good stuff. But we're going to go ahead and bring up our guest tonight. And our guest tonight is a very distinguished man that has done a lot of great things. He's a professional. He's a doctor for real, Simi.
Okay, because you know how I feel about those fake doctorate degrees.
Hey, I didn't want to bust nobody. I'm gonna say it. So I was doing research because I'm in IT. I'm an analytical person. So I was like, I keep seeing all these people getting this like presidential award across the nation, and then I was like, how you get it? Well, Google will tell you, because I'm not gonna tell y'all, but just know.
Don't do it. Now, I will say this. Just because you have certain awards, or even if you have an honorary doctorate, or even if you know, whatever, it still doesn't mean you didn't work hard, you didn't put the time in. So I don't want to take away from that. I'm just saying that when you go as far as you have these awards, and you go as far as to know, purchase these ministerial certificates online and bishop certificates online, and you have these doctorate degrees, and you know you only went through a 6-week course, you really minimize or devalue or take away from the people that put the time in. Nonetheless, for whatever you've done, you are it's worth to celebrate you.
And we, you know, celebrate what? You. I'm gonna do a treat. Hold on. Keep talking, Sim.
Okay. So for all of you who have put time in and you're working on building your resume, you're working on building your character, you're working on building your spirit, you know what? We do honor the work that you're putting in. We just don't want you to bypass any processes, because when you bypass a process, when you get to the platform that that has been prepared, you may not be really ready for that. But it's, again, everyone here that has put any work in it. I would say just because you're alive today, because you have your right mind today, you deserve to be celebrated. And I want you to know, we celebrate you, we honor you, but just don't bypass the process.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay. So I got, you can't even see it.
Is it ice? Is it ice? Like it's clear?
No, it's because it's yeah, it's clear, I guess.
Yeah, the clear. We call it ice. Nope, you can't see it. You got to take something, and you have to put it on the back of it so that it can get.
Oh, it ain't gonna work. So I just read a certificate of appreciation for your service in the armed services of the United States Army, Jalon Calhoun, regular Army. Extend your appreciation for this nation and contribute honorable service in your country. President Barack Obama, Chief Commander in Chief.
And you know what?
I don't need no lifetime award. No, I might get one though. You know,
it's nothing wrong. I mean, I know sometimes it's, you know, we don't want to take away. People still have worked hard.
I didn't say I didn't even take away. I said I wanted to figure it out so I could have my ceremony in Vegas and I could be like, I got my lifetime award. I want one. I didn't put in 4,000 hours. If I'm giving y'all the game, I put 4,000 hours already into Anointed Radio for 6 years. I think I deserve my nonprofits a lifetime award from any president. You know, I'm just saying, because I didn't put in the work.
And you put the work in, and you apply for it, and you are honored. You're awarded that. Then you know what, we honor you, because guess what? You still put the time in. I'm just talking about people that just, you're going to just lie on a credential. Like when you're supposed to do community service, I did all 800 of those hours and I just need you to sign off.
Hey, you know, that's funny. You know, I've had people really, really approach me on that. Stop telling people business. I didn't have people approach me talking about, hey, I got this community service. Can you just sign off? No.
No. I'm gonna need, and it's the thing at the end of the day, that's why God says, let everything be done in decency and order. There is a blessing going through the process. There is a maturity, there is a building of character going through the process.
Well, it's a proving ground, because people have to get ready for situations that they're wanting. Like, I never understood people that wanted to become a preacher or even a pastor, because you could be a minister or reverence anywhere and not be a pastor or somebody, but everybody want to be pastor. It's a lot. Like, it's a lot. I could tell you this. It wasn't my first thing that I wanted to be, but God kept calling me, and I got tired of getting whooped of not being obedient. So I followed it. But I don't get how people want to have just a title and don't know. Like, you see it, and you see, like, the glitz and glamour, I guess you could call it. But they don't see the warfare, the spiritual warfare, the physical warfare, because people running your name through the mud. There's a lot of stuff that people don't realize that it comes with these titles, that mm-hmm. comes with this honor. Because when you get to this honor of a certain statue or a seat or I guess you could say a statue, you have to understand what comes with it. And if the devil know that you have now influence over a big amount of people, he's going to go after the person who does of influence. And that's a whole preaching. I could preach that, but I'm not.
You know, and you bring that up every show. I know that's passionate and close to your heart, but the thing of it is too, is you just said the key word. When they want to be a pastor, they want the title. The Bible says the evangelist must first do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. So people don't understand, you got to put the work in. And that's what I'm saying about the doctors. And that's what I'm saying about the awards. Put the work in. Don't bypass the process. So people who want the title but don't want to do the work and make full proof of the ministry, that's all they want is the title. They don't understand the work that's required to have the title. They don't understand.
That's why I love when the Bible says you reap what you sow. And talking into farming terms, if you don't work for the food, you don't eat. Hmm. Everybody think that it's just going, if we had to cook and grow our own food, there would be a lot of starving people. Because you have to realize you have to put the work in, and it's not about how you feel. See, that's a trick of the enemy. People right. being so worried about how they feel instead of doing what they need to. But let's stop teaching. We gave a lot of gems out there. Somebody was blessed with that. We're going to go ahead and bring up our guest, the distinguished Dr. Gerald Smith Jr., everybody.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
So where can you be found? What's your website? What's your social media? What's all that good stuff?
Sure. I try to make it as simple as possible. You can go to www.drgeraldsmithjr.com and it will take you to my website and social media handles, and you're able to kind of click and it'll take you where you need to go. But I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, you know, and all those different areas. So if you go to the website, it'll direct you where you need to go.
Amen. Okay. Yeah. So let's do an icebreaker question. Icebreaker questions are always fun. You know, today is the official day of the holidays because, you know, Mariah Carey thawed out today. You know, I saw her post. The ice broke and she hit that high note. And now every
hit
radio
station, day. Hit the high note.
I'm not hitting none of that at all. But, yeah, so with it being the holidays, let's talk about the holidays. But I'd be omiss to not say this. With it being the holidays, in the same breath, I need to definitely say this. If you are struggling with any type of mental health issues, suicidal thoughts, anything that you're dealing with because you're alone, because you feel alone, because you have this feeling that you can't get rid of, I beg of you to definitely go seek help. I know in our culture, people look down on it, but the culture is not what's going through something. You are going through something. So I need you to be able to take care of self. Self-preservation is important. And every holiday season, I have lost a good friend of mine due to suicide. So I've made it my mission to speak every holiday to be able to say, please go get help. Please call somebody. Please, if you got people you ain't talked to in a minute, go call them, text them, check on them. It's okay. Sometimes I know people get irritated because they'd be like, man, why this person calling me? They must want something. No, they might be just calling to check on you. See you okay. See you all right. Because some people be going through stuff that you don't never know. And don't add extra burdens to people's life because you don't know what they already dealing with internally. So definitely wanted to say with that awareness, make sure you guys, there is a hotline. I'm so sorry I don't have it in front of me, but we have social media, we have phones, and the phones are smart. I promise you that. So you could definitely go and find the links and the numbers, or just call a friend or a family member. But there is no issue too dire for you to take your own life. And I have to say that. Don't make a permanent solution for a temporary problem. Just keep it a few more 24s. I'm telling you, and you'll see your situation change. With that, with it being a holiday, icebreaker question is this. If you could get rid of one of the four of Thanksgiving dinners that we know that we hold dear, which one would you get rid of? The first one is turkey. Second one is dressing. Third one is macaroni and cheese. Fourth one is yams. Which one could you live without?
We have a problem. I don't know. I don't know if I can narrow that down. I mean, I like everything that you just named. Now, if you would have said ham, I could have took ham off the list. I would have been all right.
That's why I took that off, because there's a lot of black people that don't eat ham. So I was going to say that, but I was like, nah, I'm going to make it harder.
Oh, man. I would say yams, only because in my home with my family, if you take the yams off, at least we have a sweet potato pie later on. So I would say take off the yams.
Okay. Semi?
I agree with the yams, even though I don't eat meat. And I always make, we always make like a big salmon. And we have, my sister and I will put like sauteed shrimp. We do that dish. And everybody eats our food instead of the turkey. I would definitely say yams, because the same thing. It's, and matter of fact, I don't like sweet food. So I always eat my yams on a separate plate after I eat my food and still have a sweet potato pie.
Okay.
Come on, come through.
You ready for me? All right. So I would say dressing. Dressing is gross. What? It's gross.
You got to be kidding me.
You have went too far.
Gross.
I hope I disinfected
everybody's house.
Somebody take the microphone. Take his mic.
Right now.
Let me say it louder. It's okay, gross.
Give me your black card right now. Just hand it to me.
It's gross. Dressing is disgusting. I'm sorry. Especially the ones that add. All of them. All of dressing.
It's called stuffing. He's eating stuffing. Is it called stuffing?
I don't eat that either. I don't eat that either. And if I don't eat seafood stuffing, I don't eat gizzard stuffing. I don't eat stuffing. I don't eat stuffing. Stuffing and
I'm about to just give him the face. Dr. Smith, let's just give him the
go ahead and say the benediction. We got to go.
Right.
Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Hey, hallelujah.
Hey, there's no anointing in dressing. I just want y'all to know that.
And no, it's no anointing radio in dressing.
Okay.
Anointed is in God. God touched somebody's mind on earth. He touched Big Mama's arm, her right arm, with the wooden spoon.
Let me tell you. Come on.
With the wooden spoon.
No.
Come on.
No.
Oh, my goodness. The dressing is what set off the whole. You can't, even with the macaroni and cheese, you got to have this dressing right on the side of the macaroni and cheese with the greens. And you got to take your fork and whirl it up a little bit of all of it.
Come on. You better whirl it in there. Like Tabitha, look, Tabitha Brown said, get into it. You better get into it.
That part.
Why? Because that's my business.
That part.
Y'all keep that out y'all house. I will skip that dish on Thanksgiving.
Don't come through, Pastor Jay. Don't come through.
I won't.
Don't come through.
Don't worry. I won't. I usually cook every meal except that every Thanksgiving. So the bonus round, boom, boo doo doo doo. Since y'all said desserts. Which dessert can you deal without on Thanksgiving? There's the sweet potato pie. There's the banana pudding. There is the red velvet cake. And then there is the pecan pie. Which one can you deal without?
For me, red velvet cake.
That's a shame.
I know you ain't talking. You just talking about dressing for 15 minutes. I know that's minutes. Right. I don't want to hear it. The Bible that's says right. Selah. We need a Selah moment.
They said, with love and kindness, I draw thee, and there's no love without red velvet cake.
But everybody don't make red velvet cake. I don't want to say this how the old people used to say equally in the same. Equally in the because you have to have skills to make sure you don't taste that red dye. The chocolate first of all, and the smoothness.
I'm gonna give you the game. Before there was red dye, you know how they made it red? They boiled beets and they will pour the beet water into it. So
well,
they
that's
can make
probably actually wouldn't bread. Taste bad, to be honest with you. It probably wouldn't taste bad. But that dye is what sets it off. And if you don't have the right amount of chocolate, the cocoa coming through that, and it's tangy, you don't have the smoothness of the chocolate. It just kills the whole red velvet. So you have to know. And anybody who's doing red velvet, it needs to be from scratch. Don't do the box. Because then you're going to kill it. That's the only way you should be doing the holidays. All cakes and pastries. Unless it's a couple of Marie Callender pies. All cakes and other pastries should really be, you know, homemade. That way, it's a holiday. We already know we're getting ready to take on about 15 pounds of calories. Anyway.
So what you pick?
I'm not that big on banana pudding. I make a good one, but what I can't absolutely do without is that pecan pie.
Oh, we agree. We agree for a change. Amen. Look at God. Look at God. Because I was going to, that pecan pie will stay in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever drop a pecan pie at my house.
Mm-hmm. I don't need it.
Like, we're going to bring you a pecan pie. I said, keep it.
I'll bring it. I'm going to re-gift the pie and tell somebody, with your name on it.
Right.
God, it's not a record.
I'm not even gonna let it in my house. I'm like, what that is? What is that?
Right. I'm regifting that pie. Ooh, this
like, nah, go ahead, take that. You got some. So that is our round of icebreaker questions for the holidays. I hope you guys are getting ready for the holidays. Go get your turkeys now because you know inflation is real and they're gonna go from $20 to like $50 for the same weight. So go get it now. One thing going into the interview. I want to ask you, Dr. Gerald, is where is your hometown and where do you reside now?
My hometown is originally from Windsor, Connecticut, which is right outside of Hartford. But I currently reside in my home now. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
Welcome back.
So what inspired your ministry?
So I will say this, just my relationship with God, but I grew up I'm a preacher's kid. So I grew up in church and all of that. And really I went through a period where I didn't want anything to do with it. Because I was around it for, you know, so long. Yeah. And I was like, no, I don't want that. I'm good. I've seen the ins, the outs, and everybody's going home and the sacrifices and all that good stuff. And I didn't want it. And it wasn't until I went off to college, when I went to Norfolk State University. And then maybe a year and some change into it, I was called into the ministry. I've seen it all my life. I've seen it all my life. I've submitted to leaders, you know, whereas others, you know how you all were talking about process earlier. A lot of times people don't really understand the power of submission and really submitting to someone that can teach you. Everybody wants to be the teacher, but nobody wants to be taught. And that is a problem. When people, I've helped to run a church. I mean, my pastor right now, he is still alive, thank God, in his 80s. And I still call him, check on him, talk to him, but I helped. I served on the executive board. I've done everything in church you can think of. And I'm so grateful because that was a part of my process. And when people show up and they're running to the pastorate and they run to things, I look at them like they're crazy. And if they actually come to me and start talking to me, I'll ask them, well, who were you submitted to and how long were you there? A lot of people can't answer that question.
Wow.
Because they're running around like wild boars. They want authority and they want power, but they have no submission.
That's
really what it is. And we who thrive off of, you know, well, hello, how you doing, Gwendolyn? No, it's Evangelist Gwendolyn. Well, how you doing, Gwendolyn? It's Prophet Gwendolyn. Well, how you doing? It's Apostle Gwendolyn. When you find people who harp on titles, the real issue is the abuse of power and authority. That's all it is.
Wow.
You know, one thing, you said that and it brought a memory to me. There's a time and place for things. If we're kicking it, I don't expect you to call me Pastor Jay. But if we are in a setting, I find it very highly disrespectful for you to say, oh, hey, Reverend Smith. Hey, Brother Jay. Whoa. I've had that happen to me countless times. And then I do hit that line and say, my name, it's in this setting, it's Pastor Jaylon Calhoun. And before Pastor, it was Reverend. I've done the due process.
Absolutely.
And I'm not a pastor that just got the title. I've actually been over a congregation because there's a lot of things where people get confused where a pastor that's never been a senior pastor, you know, you never lose that, even if you're not the senior pastor anymore, because it's just like a job title. Because I can go to any church and go into that role because I've been in it before. You can't put certain people into that if they've never been in that, because you'll set them up for failure. Like, and my mentors brought that to me. You know, if you're a minister, be the best minister ever. If you're a reverend, be the best reverend, evangelist, whatever it is. But don't rush to titles that deal with other people's livelihoods and souls if you're not ready for it and God ain't told you nothing. Because I could tell you now, I've seen a lot of people crash and burn doing that. And and you have to think about the consequences. One thing that always got me as a kid is a bishop told me this, and I'll never forget it because it's haunting. Whatever you do to turn somebody away from God, their blood is on your hands. That sat with me and was like, whoa, like that's a big responsibility to be playing with. You can't play with that. You already got enough sin in your own life. You don't need to be adding on extra because you wanted to feel some type of power because you haven't established self-awareness and self-being. Because a lot of people that run for titles and all those things, they don't know who they are. So they feel that if I get a title, if I get this, you know, you should be comfortable not having a title. Like I have accolades.
We know past now, Dr. Gerald Smith Jr., Pastor Jay, could talk about this for a long time because he's had some different experiences that I think, you know, he can, not only could he do a dissertation, but you could actually do a dissertation about the titles and about running from the call. You just have to word it right. I know you could, because all the dissertation is anyway, is a hazing process. Anyway.
That's it.
So I wanted to ask our guest and our family, Dr. Gerald Smith Jr., tell us a little bit more about being the founder of Sound Mind Coaching and Consultant. Mm-hmm. Tell us about it and how were you motivated or inspired to start it?
Sound Mind Coaching and Consulting, LLC. The name was given to me. I woke up one night and just wrote it down. The Lord had given it to me. But I have been doing it for years, right? So within my business, I am a certified life coach, counselor, and also a consultant. So I am able to assist in those three different areas to help people to become and become well and to become better. Mental health is, you know, we all have it. And, you know, people go through a variety of different things. And so, you know, whereas I have the coaching piece, the counseling piece, and the consulting piece, it all flows from my life and the different things that I've been through. But then also making sure that I am well equipped and educated and having the certifications and putting in the time and putting in the work to be able to help people to become well in, you know, different areas of their life. And so I covered that. I mean, I you know, I do author consulting. I do church consulting from that perspective. I do HR and career consulting, you know, and then there's the coaching piece, different areas of coaching, whether, you know, you are trying to, you know, overcome in a financial area, or it's more you trying to, you just kind of need coaching is, you know, maybe coming out of a state of depression, right? You may already be with a therapist, but you need someone to walk alongside of you to be able to, you know, kind of push you a little bit along the way and to walk with you as you, you know, overcome certain things. And so, yeah, so it really, it came from my life. It came from me living that and then praying about what I needed to do, which was essential. And I do believe in multiple streams of income, but it also comes with my purpose. My business is a part of my purpose. My purpose is to help people maximize potential and to usher them into their destiny. That is my purpose. And so because of that, I had to step out of the four walls of the church so God could use me in an unconventional way to be able to reach people.
Wow. That's wonderful. You know, and so, and then you said, so you have the three C's going on in your life, the coaching, the consulting, yeah, and the counseling. And sometimes, yes, you know, you like Pastor Jay was saying, sometimes people have this preconceived notion about even going to counseling, especially in different cultures. We're not so quick to want to go to counseling. What do you think about that? Have you seen that? Or, you know, people are hesitant, you know, absolutely, to go to counseling and open up during counseling, because we have that old saying, what goes on in this house, what goes on in this house stays in this house, right?
Listen,
and that's a cultural thing. So
it is. Listen, you are talking good. And let me tell you, yes, yes, and yes. I see it and hear it often, especially in our culture. We demonize therapy, and that is not how it should be. We demonize counseling. We demonize talking to people. And a part of why some of us are in church and we're still bound is because we don't talk. We have been taught what goes on in this house stays in this house. And that's why a lot of us suffer. We suffer because we don't talk and we feel, just pray about it and it'll go away. The Lord gonna take care of it. God has its place, prayer has its place, but then also we need to be able to sit down and talk with someone so we can not only get free, but stay free. And when you have God and therapy, it can work hand in hand to keep you free. And a lot of people don't want that. And I'm going to say this, because this is for some pastors too. We have some really good pastors out there that really, you know, encourage their members to go and seek help and things of that nature and know when to refer. Know when, okay, I'm speaking from a spiritual standpoint, but now we're getting into a place where I need to refer. You may need to sit down with a psychotherapist. You may need to sit down with a, you know, a psychologist, you know, whoever, you know, but you have to know when to refer. But then on the flip side, talking about the abuse of authority and power, when you're dealing with pastors, there are some pastors who won't promote that. And they won't promote it because they want people to be dependent upon them. Let me lay my hands on you. You come to me and you get it from me. And then, and it keeps people bound, because what it is some of these leaders have a need to be needed because of their insecurities. The goal is to teach people to be able to meet the need and build a relationship with the Lord for themselves, so they don't need you all the time. And some of them go against therapy. Again, the good ones, they don't want anybody to talk them out of their faith. Well, guess what? We have so many Christian therapists and counselors now. There's no excuse for that, right? But then the flip side for those who are pastors and who really demonize it is that they don't want their cultish behavior to be exposed in therapy.
Mm. Well, you know, I want to say there was a story about a pastor that told a woman to get off her psych meds. And then when she got off her psych meds, she flipped on the pastor and like almost killed. And that's the first of all, isn't that to anybody that thinks that they could give medical, that's legal. First of all, you can't tell somebody about getting on and off medicine if you do not have a license on that. Second thing is, as your church could be shut down because that's a liability. You telling people and acting like, I think they just had a movie about the girl who said in God's name, she went and opened up a medical clinic in Africa and 800 children that was under her care died. Like, but she was saying, well, God told me to do it. But she was portraying as a doctor. She was doing all that stuff. It was on Netflix. That's dangerous. That's dangerous to play with people's lives, bro. Especially if you don't know what you're talking about. And a lot of people don't, like Simi said, follow the due process, did not go to medical school, did not go even to, you can't even, I remember my pastor broke this down to me. You can't even call yourself a counselor unless you're certified.
Yeah.
Like you can say, I'm a spiritual advisor. You could say that. Like, I give you spiritual advice, but you can't say I counsel. Like, even, a lot of pastors be like, well, I'm doing marriage counseling. You're not a counselor. You're a pastor.
No.
So it's a lot of things. Exactly. There's a lot of things where people have to be careful on the things that they're doing, because if you want to talk the real logistics, people could sue you for giving those situations. So one thing I want to ask about that is, what's one thing financially, because I see in the church, finances is a very big thing, from the church as a whole to its members. What is one thing that you can say that is a common thing that has burdened the church and the people that are going to church in finance?
What has burdened them? I would dare to say this, and that is, what has burdened the people that I've seen in church is not being taught, right, management. Not being taught how to properly manage their money. I have seen people give tithes and offerings. I have seen people give. They are faithful, and they are still struggling financially because they have not been taught how to properly manage not just their money, but management as a whole, manage their health, you know, all of that. But I'm just honing in on finances right now. You have to be able to understand how to manage your finances. And if a lot of leaders are not teaching it, and if and they may not have the expertise, but that's where you need to bring someone in who can really help pour into the people. And the other thing with that is too, not just being religious and going to church, right? But you need to be able to read the scripture and know how to apply the principle of the scripture to your life. That's another reason why people suffer financially, because they're quoting scripture, they've been decreeing and declaring for years, and they're still broke, they're still angry, they're still hurt, you know what I'm saying? And they're still not paying their bills on time.
Wow.
Management. You'd rather go
Pastor Jay said, okay.
Go ahead.
That was a lot. That okay.
Cause you see the examples of it. Cause I asked God recently, like, why some people go to church but they don't change? Mm-hmm. And when you said learning how to apply the principles, that hit me. That's why I had to say that okay, because a lot of people, you could read something and not understand it. And just because somebody's been there for 20 years, 30 years, doesn't mean they understand how to apply it for their life. They know how to say the religious words and know how to act accordingly. But when it comes down to adding the principles to applying life, that was a mouthful right there, because That's why there's still rampant divorce. There's why it's still people cutting people off in the church. That's why there's still anger and people fighting in the church and wondering why the people on the outside are looking at us like, man, y'all ain't no different than us. So it's just that man, that made me sit here.
When you said applying the principle too, and the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing and all thy getting, get an understanding. So if you're going to church, you decree and declare it, and you see things are changing, you know, Jesus cursed the fig tree because it did not produce. If something is not being produced, something is not resulting, you're not having some type of a successful outcome, you have to ask yourself, okay, what am I really understanding the principles? Am I consistently applying the principles? Am I really walking this thing? And what am I not doing? You know, and then ask to get the understanding. Mm-hmm. You have to get the understanding. And that's what one thing, I had a really hard time. I had a hard season, probably maybe a decade and a half ago, maybe close to 10, maybe a decade and a half. And it was really rough for me. And it was the first time in my life that I didn't feel like I wanted to speak to anybody at church. You know, I was in ministry, but I didn't feel like I needed to talk to another minister or anybody in church. I talked to my mom, I talked to certain people, and I was like, I need to go to counseling. And I remember having to fight myself to be comfortable enough to get the counseling. And one thing you said is that people need to realize today there are different types of counselors. There are real Christian counselors out there, and they base their talk therapy on the principles of the word, on the foundation of the world, and they don't go outside of those parameters. So when I was able to do that, I was able to go to someone and get an understanding for some of the things that I was going through. And then that's how we get wisdom, and that's how we move out of things. First of all, we cannot be fearful. Second of all, we have to desire to have a different result, an outcome. I think it was Einstein said, sanity? Insanity is doing the same thing, expecting different results, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, this is the time. You know, a lot of people, a lot of Christians, they get frustrated. We get frustrated. I don't want to say them. We've all been in a place where we got frustrated. But you got to get frustrated enough to say, what do I need to do differently, Lord? What are you trying to teach me in this? And what assistance, what help do I need? And then not be afraid to get the help, because we all need help at one time in our life. You know, and this is the thing with counseling. Counseling started in the Bible. It started right in the Bible.
It sure did.
Because there was counsel. He said, first of all, we should seek wise counsel. He said, wisdom is found in a multitude of counsel. That's where you get the word counseling. That's talking about it. That didn't have to be your brother, but they have something that you need. You need to go talk. They have some wisdom and some expertise and some skill sets that you need. So we have to really get past that as a people, because I believe in the time and the season. Woo, and I don't want to get into it. With everything that's going on in the world, we need to be able to elevate. We need to be able to get better, hear from God, and be able to see some successful outcomes.
And, you know, when you said that, Simeon, it made me think about where it says, you know, you're worried about the speck in your brother's eye while you got a plank in your own eye. A lot of people deflect their own issues, and that's why you got the gossipers. That's why you have the people that's so worried about somebody else's life, because they're scared to face self. And everybody's had that moment where they're like, I blame everybody. You know, I had a big phase. I used to blame my mama for everything. Well, I went through this because my mama didn't do this. I went through this because my mama didn't do this. And then I had to grow up in maturity in God and understand that after 18, every choice I made was my own. Despite of what I thought, is all based off what I did. And I had to start speaking. Sometimes it's weird for us to even say our own name. And my therapist taught me that, where you have to say, hey, Simi, you got to get your stuff together. Jalon, you need, because sometimes it's easy to say, get your stuff together. But who are you talking to? Right. Because it's easy to deflect.
Right.
It's very easy to deflect. But if you're saying, Jaylon, I need to get my finances together, it makes you start making your own self accountable. So one thing I want to ask you about is your books. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about your books.
So I have three books that have been released. My latest book was released February of this year. And all three of them are on Amazon. The last book is entitled Unshackled and Unashamed, Stripping Ourselves of Single Life Insecurities. And that book really encourages, you know, singles, but also married and those who are divorced, that if you don't tackle your attitudes, if you don't tackle your mindset, if you don't tackle learning to unlearn some things that your parents taught you that's not serving you in this season right now, then you will literally sabotage every interpersonal relationship you come in contact with. That is boss and employee, that is mother, father, son, daughter, that's husband and wife. If you don't tackle those things as an individual, you will sabotage every interpersonal relationship you come in contact with.
Wow.
Hmm.
Unshackled and unashamed. And
so, yeah, and so I'm encouraging singles, but I'm also encouraging those who are married and divorced. What it does is it combines scripture along with counseling practices and things that can help people to overcome. You know, I talk about in the book, because right now, a lot of times, you know, we see divorce is so high and, you know, it's like you're married today, divorce tomorrow. It's like you're changing socks and people don't care. And I've been seeing this, and the Lord had literally given me this burden. I carried this book and I had to birth this book, you know, even from a single perspective as well, because a lot of people are made to feel as if they're less than, because they're not married. So they get married, and I talk about the different reasons why people get married, good reasons. I talk about the reasons why, the bad reasons why people get married. You know, one of the things I say in the book is that, listen, it is not your responsibility to carry the burden of what other people think of you.
Mm.
That does not belong to you.
Because I am some not getting married because somebody thinks something else.
And I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this while we're on. That's so good. Thank you so much for saying that. Because one of the things I talk about in the book is the pressure. I said, don't let the pressure from church, society, your family, your friends, don't let anybody pressure you into something that you're not ready for. And what I talk about in the book, some of the things that people are afraid of, oh, they're going to think I have a disease. They're going to think, oh, I'm living an alternative lifestyle. They're going to think all these different things. And what I tell people is getting married is not going to change what they think about you anyway. Because if you get married, they're still going to think what they want to think. People are always going to be people. So what I tell people is the greatest deliverance I had to get free from was the opinions of people.
Mm.
And I'm glad you speak. Wow. You covered everything. You covered the single, the married, and the divorce. And a lot of people like my sister and myself that are single, we have been married before, you know, we are divorced, but
right. You
are, especially in Christendom, people don't want to talk about it. You kind of do feel like when you're single, people look down on you, or they think you coming for their husband, or I'm sure it's the same thing right. For men. They think you coming for their wives.
Same thing.
That kind of bothers you. You're like, you know, honestly, that's your headache. I'm feeling I'm good right here. This is, if God changes that, that's fine too, but I'm really okay. You're really safe. You really are. You're really safe. Okay. But I think it's really important that, you know, in Christendom, we just respect that there are different seasons and different experiences that we have. And just because you're single, that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. Or you're out there, just out there fornicating, like you don't have any discipline about yourself, you know, or so I'm glad that you took it from every perspective, single, married, and divorce, because,
Can I add something to what you said, if it's all right?
Yes.
Okay. So the other thing I talk about too in the book, and I think it's just phenomenal, right? But when people are reading this, a lot of times people feel like they're defective. If they've been married and divorced, people look at them like, oh, it didn't work out. Oh, it didn't. No, you're not defective, right? If you're single, some people choose to be single. And I highlight this. Some people will marry young in life. Some people will marry older in life. Some people will get married and get divorced. Some will get married and stay happily married. Some will have children and some will not have children. Everybody is not going to get married, period. And that's between the individual and God. No one else can work that out but them.
That's true.
And that takes the pressure off of some people, because we've got this thing where everybody has to be married. You know, you at the family reunion, and every time you come to the family reunion, when you gonna get married? You know, when someone, so listen, Patricia, now you've been single for a long time. When you gonna get married? Well, ma'am, you on your third husband. You don't have time to talk about anybody.
When you gonna stay married? That's what we want to know. Okay. I'm sorry.
And I want to say this too, because
man, the people that have the most failed relationships got the most advice. You'd be like, bro, did you use your own advice?
And even, I mean, it is so, so sad. It is. I'm sorry, but Dr. Smith, you were saying something just a minute ago.
It's okay. I mean, I had to laugh at my own self. I mean, it's the truth, though. Y'all are talking good, because one of the things when you start talking about gossip or people trying to, you know, really focus on someone else who's not married or what they're doing, what I tell people is, I said, all that is a method of control and manipulation. So what a person is trying to do is they're trying to control your life. And guess what? We always look at, oh, no, you know, the Ouija board and the dust and the call me now. Oh, that's witchcraft. No, let me tell you something. We got some witches and warlocks in our families. You know what witchcraft is? Any attempt to try to control another human spirit.
Wow. Mm. Wow, that's good.
They're in our churches. They're in our pulpits. They're in our families. They're everywhere. You're trying to control someone else. You're trying to dominate another human spirit. And that is witchcraft.
Wow.
Mm. That's the real.
It's a lot of witches out here, and it's a lot of snaggitude. So why you single? I said, why is you single?
And they do it extra. They do it extra with the extra snag. Let me stop. So, But that's a good thing, because, you know, one thing is I was looking at a report that a lot of young people, the next generation, I think of my kids coming up, you know, because they're in their teens and they're going to eventually get in the generation where pressure for marriage and kids and family and things like that. And then I think about the generation right behind me, where my brothers are in their early 20s and about to be 30, and they're still in, they're single. But in this generation now, everybody looks at marriage as a mess. And hearing about your book, it definitely gives a good perspective, because yes, there was, I could agree, there was mess in the generations before us, because grandma knew that grandpa had two other families. Yes, that is true. But then marriage, there's beautiful marriages as well. But I think a lot of people don't look at that as like the, well, I liked what you said. There's going to be good marriages, there's going to be bad marriages, there's going to be people that get married. I liked how you put that as perspective, instead of having this just one universal way of how things are, because I know people right now that's hitting their 30s and early 40s, and they're feeling like, well, it's over for me because now I'm getting older. And, you know, if I deal with somebody, the quality of what, I heard somebody said that the dating pool got throw up and all kind of stuff into it. And I was just like, but if it's, when it's your time, I can't say from a single perspective, but I'm just like, I don't want my kids to look at marriage like that. I would be like, I want my kids to find a person that they can have peace with and that they can to. I don't want them to look at it like, oh, that's a burden. Oh, they fight. Oh, that this. And they only see the negative, but they don't see the beautiful side of marriage, too, because marriage is beautiful. And I wanted to ask you about this because I never read this before getting married, and I always submit it to everybody that's talking about, oh, I'm getting married. What is your thoughts on 1 Corinthians chapter 7?
From what aspect? If you don't mind reading it,
mostly it was talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, because everybody loves to do love is sweet, love is kind, love they love to talk about that. But in chapter 7, it literally talks about marriage. It says, if you are going to burn up with passion, then get married. Correct. But my first thing that it, but it says, but I, it, it literally says, but I wish for you not to, so that you could not have to have a distraction between you and God's relationship. And then it even breaks down. If somebody that's not saved leaves you, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you can't leave because you chose that, because they're covenant through your relationship with God. Like there's a lot of breakdown by you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of in that chapter that I don't think people read when it really talks about what marriage is. What do you think about that aspect?
I think a lot of people they immediately go to, you know, man should not be alone. You know, they immediately go to, you know, Adam and Eve and all this stuff. But
some men should be alone. Man in plural, but some men, because they have not let the Lord do a work, an inward work, they should be alone.
That's it.
Well, to add on to that, I mean, a lot of people don't know how to be alone, and that's why they jump into relationships.
Well, that's you the one brought up the passion.
Now let me tell you, let me say this. I'm glad y'all said it, because at the end of the day, people are jumping in and out of relationships because they don't know who they are. They don't like being alone with themselves because they don't like or love themselves. They want someone else to love them, right? With their bad habits, spitting in the sink, you got hair chips on the counter, you got clothes across the floor, you know your feet smell, you got all this stuff, and you want another person to accept you for who you are, but you don't want to change and grow and develop yourself.
Well, what are we doing? You smell like corn chips. What we gonna do about this? We already started using that. I know they got Gold Bond for feet. I seen it. I know they got baby foot talc powder. I'm gonna need you just to work on just when you be faithful of a few things, God gonna make you rule over much. Okay. Little becomes much in the master hand. I just need you what's in your hand, just you and yourself right now to get that underway. Let's just work on that. Right. But then on the opposite side of that, Dr. Gerald, is that you get so comfortable and you know, sometimes, I can speak on this, you get so comfortable where some people get comfortable, so they get comfortable in their habits and they really don't think about preparing themselves for making a space for someone to share their life with, because they're like, this is how I'm gonna do it. And then other people, they get so comfortable with who God had made them to be. They've been through a lot. They're okay with failing. They're good with their successes. They have prayer time. And they love themselves so much. They take themselves out to eat. They go on trips by themselves, you know. They wine and dine in nice places by themselves. I don't know who I'm talking about.
That sounds personal.
You talking about me? You talking about me?
Me too. That's what I'm talking about, me too. And it's funny because I was talking to some ladies at work, and some of us, they're all saved. Some of the women at my workplace, they're married, first ladies and things like that. And the other ones, we're single. And the ones that were single, I was joking when I said, girl, you see, First Lady Jennifer, she trying to hook you up with the minister at the church. She said, he could go on about his business. She said, I got my home and she said, I'm comfortable and I'm good. I don't need nobody. And I said, but you don't know how to cook, so he probably wouldn't want to stay anyway. But what I'm saying is, I say all that to say, some people, if you want to be married, you still, you can be comfortable with yourself, but don't be comfortable or don't be open to that God can't do that. Don't close yourself off. And also allow God to give you small instructions to prepare for that. But some people like, you know what? I'm good. I'm comfortable. And then in their mind, they want a husband, but they're like, I'm good. No.
It's true. No. It's true. And some people, you know, the other thing we have to really cover too is that, listen, some people really want to give themselves to their purpose. And that's okay. And that's okay. If you want to fully give yourself to your purpose and you don't want to marry, because I will say this, when you're older, you know, as you're getting older, and if you're single, and I can say this about myself too, you actually get set in your ways, right? You know who you are, which is a blessing because you know what you want and what you don't want. But as you get older, you become a little bit more set in your ways. And so it's somewhat of a battle there. But I tell people all the time, I'm like, listen, if you're comfortable, that's fine. That's your decision. And what I tell people is this, I say this, okay, I'm single right now. I there's no way I can do all of this schooling, still work in corporate America, continue to write books. I travel, I speak, I do all this. Listen, you have to know it takes energy and effort to cultivate a marriage and a relationship. So you have to be realistic about what you're doing. What is your capacity? Do I really have capacity for this right now? And what I tell people is, as of right now, I'm good. I'm all set. I said, but God has given me the ability to change my mind. So if I get older and in the next couple of years and decide I want to marry, I can do that because God has given me the power to change the trajectory of my life. I am one decision away from changing the trajectory of my life. And so it is not a sentence. It is not a life sentence. It's just where you are right now. And if you decide never to marry, it's okay. Let people be people and do what you need to do for your life and be happy.
Thank you, Dr. Marvinetta said, that's so true. And I love that. Absolutely. And you know, do you find this as well? I'm gonna say two things. One thing I'm gonna say real quick is that sometimes, have you ever seen a marriage that was so toxic, you like,
Yes. Woo!
I don't even know why, Lord. But I show if it's got to be that, I don't want it. Have you ever seen, I'm just gonna say that. And then secondly, I was gonna say, I think that becomes, just for all those that are single out there and you are, you know, you're walking in purpose and you're very content with what God has given you and what he's put in your life. We have to be honest and we have to be open. And like you say, I'm so glad you say we can give ourselves to our purpose because there's also a season. There's also a season to things. And I think being single, it's okay to be open and say, you know what, right now, this is what I'm doing. But in our prayer time.
Right.
Tracy, I hope you're looking at the show. In our prayer time, it's okay to say I'm fulfilled, I'm content. God has blessed me with some of the things that I want. I'm satisfied. I don't need anybody financially or these things. And I have things that I still desire to do. But God, I'm open. If that's what's in your heart, don't lie to God. I'm open to, if you want to send me a husband, you would work that out. But singles, it's important. And we can be involved in our purpose, but in our prayer time, it's very important that you're honest in your prayer time and not saying one thing with your mouth and doing something else.
Right. And you have to really get to the
point. Well, you know, one thing that I've realized, you know, one thing I realized about what you were saying, Simi, and I was just speaking to God, because there's a lot of people in that situation that they're in that alone time right now. And some people want to be in relationships. Some people are content. But one thing that came to me, and it was that God is a jealous God. And a lot of times he knows that if you get with somebody, they could become a distraction with your relationship. And sometimes he has to deal with you on a one-on-one so when you are ready to get with somebody, it's not like a swap off, but an addition. Because that's sometimes people get to a point where they make their partner their God. And then wondering why things are happening and why God ain't in it. And you, like you said, that toxic relationship. I had a person that came to me. I wasn't counseling. They was giving me, I was giving just what the Bible says.
Spiritual advice.
spiritual advising, all legal people that's watching. And I asked him a simple question. He said, man, she just tripping. She going through this. This is an older couple. And I'm like, man, you older than me. What? Yo, she got it by now. And he said, man, she just be tripping. And I said, so when you went to God with her, that was the only time you talked to God about her? See, a lot of people do the promise before God, but that's all the God that's in the relationship.
Wow.
Oh, my.
You go before God and say, I want to marry this woman. And then you don't never pray for your partner. You never talk when y'all go to like something in you. If you have the Holy Ghost, no matter how bad the argument should be, the Holy Ghost, I've had bipolar moments where I'm like, nah, bro, I'm mad. And the Holy Ghost is like, I don't care what you know, what you're supposed to do. And then you be like, all right, God, I got you. But if you got the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost is saying, I don't care if you look weak. Say sorry. I don't care if you feel like you ain't wrong. Humble yourself, because there's a lot of times where if you know yourself, you know you get on your own nerves. Yes. So you gotta have God checking you, or you always gonna think you right. You're gonna be like, man, when you go to prayer, it ain't gonna always be like, oh, you know he wrong. God gonna get on you too and be like, and what you do?
That's it.
Wow.
Pastor Jay, I want to say this. That's powerful, because people think going to the altar, something magical happens. Nothing magical happens, okay? What you bring as a single is what makes your marriage. And so the pastor and the preacher, they're not working any magic, right? Mm-hmm. No. I mean, what you were when you walked down the aisle, that's what you are walking back up the aisle. I mean, at the end of the day, and you have to put in the work, right? You have to be able to do that. And you said something that was powerful too. And I believe now a lot of people have made marriage an idol, in the sense of they worship it, they worship people, they see people who are, you know, pastors or people in the public eye. And then when they get divorced, they're distraught. Oh my God, I can't believe this. First of all, they're human beings, okay? So flawed, and there's no perfect person, which means there's no perfect marriage. Things happen. But one thing I know is that marriage can be a distraction. If you marry the wrong person, they can literally destroy your life.
Oh, we. Well.
If you marry the wrong person, they can destroy your life if you let them. And that's why, and people say, oh, I did not marry. I said, well, wait a minute, hold on. Listen, Jesus wasn't married, nor, and then Paul talked about not being married. So that's at the end of the day, what are we doing? Why are we putting this unnecessary pressure? Marriage is beautiful. And they say, well, I'm getting married, so I'm not burning. Well, some of y'all are married and still burning, because you're still stepping out on your spouse.
Well, I hope somebody took notes on that. That was for the people in the back. Don't get married. Don't get married if you're gonna be out there playing.
Just stay single. And I tell people it's beautiful, but I tell some people, I said, God designed this for you to be with this person for the rest of your life, not just for 2 years. And I tried it, and it's over. That's not how that works. And so that's a reality check. The other reality check is, if you are not ready to sign up for a lifetime of forgiveness, don't do it.
That's powerful right there.
Don't do it. There is no, I forgave them 10 times. No, no, this is a lifetime of forgiveness.
That's good.
Ooh, that could preach right there. That is,
I was thinking that's a good name of a book right there.
Right, I was thinking about that.
You need to go on here and write that book, Lifetime of Forgiveness. Specifically for the married people. Yeah. You need to write that. I said, oh, that's good.
Right.
I'm actually working on something now, guys, for another, working with my publishing and editing team. It's two books. One, I don't know where it's going to go, but it's going to be regarding narcissistic leadership. And you know, it's going to cover the church, corporate America, and in our families.
I'm buying all your books. I love every time.
But you know what?
Pastor, I'm like, I'm buying all your books,
Pastor Jay. Blink once, if you know what I mean.
Man, My God. I'm gonna have a book club.
I'm like, okay, look, I might just need to replenish my little library. Give me another bookshelf or something. I had to stop. I get going again.
Yeah. And you guys, the next one that I'm working on, I'm coming out of something like as of right now, but it's regarding friendship. And I'm going to entitle it Friendship or something of this nature, or Loneliness, the New Epidemic.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. All right. You done been, you know what, Dr. Gerald, you don't have to say nothing. You could just blink twice. You done been through some things to be able to write all these books. These books wasn't all vision and dreams. These Mm-mm. weren't all vision and Mm-mm. dreams. This wasn't all doctoral no, program, doctoral dissertation. You done been through some things. You done been unshackled and unashamed. You've been through a lifetime of forgiveness. You done been through marriage as an idol. You done been through some things.
You better read your notes. Look, read on. You better read on, Kirk. Read on.
He had his Moesha moments. You know, okay. Sitting there with the journal, like. Right. So today.
Wow. They had
me all the way messed up. But they forgot I have a lifetime of forgiveness.
Okay. Right.
So.
He got another book coming out. You can't just forgive me 10 times. I need, look, more than a 10 count. More than a 10 count.
It's more than a 10 piece.
I will say this because I didn't say the other book. So the other two books, my first book is called Position to Prosper, Serving in the Kingdom. And that is for those who serve in any type of leadership role, especially in the church, that you can understand all the religious workings of church and you can still die on the vine spiritually. So I'm encouraging people to serve and to keep that relationship, that servant leadership, keep your relationship with God strong, right? And then the second book I release is called Framing Your World Against All Odds. And that book pretty much covers, it doesn't matter what it doesn't matter what the enemy says, it doesn't matter what your friends, family, it doesn't matter what they call you on your block. What matters is what you say, what you believe, and what God says. That frames your world. And a lot of us get trapped because the enemy knows if in order for it to exist in your life, you have to release it out of your mouth. So a lot of times when hurt deeply, we keep repeating things over and over and over again, and it gives that thing permission to live in your life. And so I tell you, when you frame the world by the words that you speak.
That's good. I like that.
Excellent.
Amen. Amen. Man. Man, go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you again. Anybody that's joining in late, your website, your social media, all that good stuff.
Yeah, you can go directly to my website at www.drgeraldsmithjr.com. And that will take you to books and take you to social media. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, I'm on Twitter, anywhere. You can also Google me. You can just type in Dr. Gerald Smith Jr. and, you know, my name will pop up and you'll be able to find me on social media in that way as well.
Amen. Everybody, make sure you guys go follow Dr. Gerald Smith Jr. Like, he gave some nuggets. His books even sound dope. I'm telling you, I'm going to have to go out with a few of those. But I want everybody to just know that he's doing this to be able to stop somebody from going through certain situations. It's not is because some people are like, they be making books to be seen. No, sometimes people do it so that you don't have to go and bump your head the same way that some people bump their heads. And, you know, and that's the great thing about reading, because reading is fundamental. You could be able to read and see examples, see different perspectives, because sometimes we get caught up too much in our own head. And if you only go based off what your head says, man, you're going to put yourself in a lot of trouble, because you ain't always right and you ain't always wrong either. So it's just kind of to the point where getting what Simi said, a wise counsel, and getting the help and getting the books and reading and changing the perspective, I'm telling you, it will change your life. So make sure you guys go follow Dr. Gerald Smith Jr. And one thing I want to say to you, Doc, is that I thank you for coming on to the show. I really appreciate you for telling us about your journey, your life, about your ministry. And I know that you gave the most ultimate thing, and that's time. So I really appreciate you coming on the show tonight and coming on to Anointed Radio. And with that being said, just know you're like family now. Like I tell everybody, is as soon as you have something coming out, a new book, let us know. We'll definitely, in our best capability, promote it and support, because our mission statement says that unity brings change. If we all could be able to help each other, we could be able to impact a change that would be massive, especially in the body of Christ. So I definitely applaud you, sir, for everything that you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing, because God has his hands on you. I know you're tired in certain moments, and I know that sometimes it feels like your work is not validated, but just know that God is pleased, because you not just helping yourself, you helping others. You go through what you're going through because it's meant for you to help who's assigned to you. So with that, and Simi, see, it's past our bedtime. We got to go ahead and get off. So with that being said, everybody, make sure you guys go follow them. And if you are just tuning in, make sure you follow us at LV Anointed Radio on all social media platforms. Make sure that you go to anointedradio.com. Follow us on our websites. And you, if you want to be a blessing to the ministry, go to the Cash App, $Anointed Radio. We're doing a lot of great things. We're rebuilding our app. We rebuilt our website already. Still have 24-hour gospel, and we're rebuilding our TV network. So a lot of things are coming soon for quarter one. It's amazing. It's a lot of work, and funding is always appreciated. So with that, make sure that you guys follow us. Stay tuned, stay blessed, stay hydrated, stay warm, because it's starting to get cold now. And one thing that I could tell you in this holiday season, make sure that you go check on your loved ones, because it's worth it. Amen. 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 See y'all. Amen. Fuck.